Well, tonight we come to the second of the speaking gifts listed there in the Bible. It's the word of knowledge, and we find ourselves in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. There are many kinds of knowledge. For example, there's knowledge that's gained from reading. This is called book smarts. And you can read about art history to zoology and everything in between. You can learn a lot from reading books. There's also knowledge gained from familiarity. For example, last night I knew that I needed to take my wife Brenda to an Italian restaurant. That's what she likes, and so it was Valentine's Day, and so we went to have Italian food. I didn't learn that by reading a book. There's not a book called Brenda, and I read it, and in there it says she likes Italian food. I wish there was that book, but there's not. So I know that she likes Italian food because I'm familiar with what she likes to eat and what she doesn't like to eat. There's also another kind of knowledge called street smarts, and this is when you are shrewd and experienced enough to be able to survive in the often difficult and dangerous environment of the modern city. Then there's also trivial knowledge. Some of you guys are really good at trivial knowledge, and you're able to win at Trivial Pursuit. The game of Trivial Pursuit is based on trivial knowledge. Knowledge, for example, like Coca-Cola was originally green, or the city with the most Rolls Royces per capita is Hong Kong. No NFL team which plays its home games in a domed stadium has ever won a Super Bowl. You know, these are the sorts of little bits of trivia information that really don't amount to anything more than, haha, look what I know. But today, this evening, we're learning about a whole different type of knowledge than what we've talked about so far. This evening, we're talking about spiritual knowledge. And so, by way of spiritual knowledge, let's read our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. It says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit." And so, while last week we studied the word of wisdom, this evening, we're studying the word of knowledge. And again, just like we did last week, we're going to look at this gift three-dimensionally, or in other words, we're using 3D words. The first D word that we're going to use is define. First, we want to define this gift. The second D word that I want to use is diagnose, because we're going to diagnose this gift in order to determine whether or not we have this gift. And then the third D word that we're going to use is develop, so that we'll finally look at this gift, determine whether we have it, and then develop, learn how to develop the gift that we've been given, if we have been given that gift. And so let's define the word first. And again, just like last week, it's the word of. Last week it was the word of wisdom. This week it's the word of knowledge. And that word is the Greek word logos, which simply means reason and logic. And if you want more detail about that, you can listen to last week's study where I went into more detail about the word. But it just simply means reason or logic. But the word knowledge, in this case the word of knowledge comes from the Greek word gnosis. This is speaking of general knowledge, especially as it pertains to Christianity, and then also moral knowledge pertaining to right versus wrong living. And so the difference between wisdom and knowledge is that knowledge is the possession of information, while wisdom is the understanding of what to do with the knowledge. Okay? So knowledge is gaining the information. Wisdom is, what do I do with it? A simple working definition of the word of knowledge. I like what Chuck Smith said in his book, Living Water. He defines the word of knowledge as information given to us supernaturally, knowledge of things that we could not know through natural acquisition or study. It's a divine impartation of knowledge concerning a person or situation that could not come through natural processes. It's something that flashes into your mind, which God prompts you to say. And so that is the word of knowledge. information that could not have been gained through any natural way, but that God gives to you in order to build up the people around you. Sometimes it also helps to define what something is by defining what it's not. And maybe you've been to a prayer meeting. Maybe you've been in a church setting where maybe it was an afterglow, or maybe you were sitting around and just praying that God would come and make His presence known. And maybe somebody stood up and said, "Oh, I've got a word from the Lord. There's a person here whose back is hurting, and I just want them to know." I mean, come on. Hands up. Whose back is hurting tonight? Yeah. So it's not a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. I mean, you know, I could probably guess that, you know, if you're a male and you're over the age of 45, one of your knee hurts right now. And, geez, that's a word of knowledge from the Lord. No, it's just common sense. That's not a word of knowledge. So, you know, someone that stands up and says, there's a person with back pain here tonight, and I just want them to know that God's going to heal them. And maybe God is putting that on someone's heart, but chances are that's just someone thinking through, you know, trying to be spiritual and whatnot. A word of knowledge is something that can't be known through natural processes. It's something that God imparts, and it's typically something that is really going to impact someone's life. And so how do we determine whether we have this gift? Now that we've defined it, let's diagnose it. And so I want to ask you a few questions. And with these questions, help you to determine whether this is something that God is using you in the lives of other people. Is God using you in this way? Have you ever gained immediate spiritual insight into a biblical truth while reading the Bible or talking with another person? Maybe you were just devotionally reading the Bible and struggling with this concept when all of a sudden it just became crystal clear. And like the turning on of a light switch, you just understood exactly what the Bible was saying. That's a word of knowledge. God is shining His light on the Scripture, giving you spiritual understanding that you didn't have before. And it wasn't like you were listening to Chuck Smith tapes. You know, it wasn't like all of a sudden, you know, you heard Josh McDowell teach this, or, you know, some other guy teach that, and now you understand. No, it was you and the Lord devotionally reading the Word, and all of a sudden you just had this spiritual insight into what it meant. That's a word of knowledge. Or maybe you were trying to explain something to somebody, some spiritual or biblical truth, and they just weren't getting it. And nothing you seem to say is giving them any more insight into what it is you're trying to tell them. But then all of a sudden, God reveals this perfect way to just make it crystal clear to them. Once I was speaking to a Muslim at the University of Texas, and I was witnessing to him and trying to share with him that a triune God makes a lot more sense than the monotheistic type of God who has no distinctions within Himself. You see, those that believe in a triune God don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God who has three distinctions within that one God. And so one confusing thing that some of the people who have a monotheistic type of belief, they get confused when you start talking about the Trinity because they think you're talking about three different gods. And we're not. So I was trying to help this Muslim understand that we believe in one God, but that that one God has three distinctions within Himself, and that that makes a lot more sense than a monotheistic God that has no distinctions within Himself. And so he's heard all the argument. I'm giving him all the arguments. I think I'm doing a good job. And you can just tell that he's heard them, and he wasn't convinced by them. And so the whole time I'm talking to him, I'm just praying, God, give me something that I don't know, that he doesn't know, something that he's never heard before, something that I don't know. I've never studied it, you know, because I've basically wasted all of my knowledge at this point. God, give me something to reach this person with. And God did. And all of a sudden, I was telling him, I asked him, does your God love? And he said, yes. And I said, does your God communicate? And he said, yes. And I said, well, before God created anything, who did he talk to? And who did he love? And he said, well, you know, nobody. He didn't have anybody to love or talk to. I said, so he wasn't fulfilling himself within himself. I said, your God had to create somebody to love. Your God had to create somebody to talk to, and therefore your God is incomplete. Your God has needs, and any God that has needs is insufficient. And so Allah, not perfect. But my God, the God of the Bible, Yahweh, there's distinctions within himself, and so the Father can love the Son, and the Son can love the Spirit, and the Father can communicate with the Son, and the Son can communicate with the Spirit, so that our God fulfills himself within himself. He's perfect. And he was blown away, just blown away by it. And it's nothing that I have studied before, and I've gone on to see that it's a really excellent theological point. But he was blown away with it. I was blown away with it, and it was just a word of knowledge. God used me in that way. Well, how about this? Have you ever been sharing your faith, and something you said just penetrated their hardened heart? And where the person that I was talking to before, you could see that their gears were turning. It didn't really penetrate the heart. You could see that the person walked away as hard as they were before I started talking to them. Their gears turned a little bit. Some of the rust fell off the cogs, but their heart wasn't penetrated. But maybe you're talking to somebody and you're just hitting a brick wall. They're not emotionally being moved by anything you're saying. But then all of a sudden you say something and you don't even know what it was, but you can just see it. You can see it all over them. The wall's starting to come down. And their heart is starting to become pierced. That's a word of knowledge. And there was this one time I was talking to this guy on the drag, and he wasn't fully paying attention. He was kind of staring off at people moving around, and he wasn't really zeroing in on what I was saying. And I really wanted him to focus, and I was just praying that God would help me to speak to this person. And as I was talking to him, I started talking about the great chasm that's between us and where God is, and that somehow we need to cross this chasm to get to the other side, and what can help us across the chasm. And I kept using the word chasm, and it's a word that it's rarely used. It's not part of, you know, the way that I would go about speaking to somebody, but I'm just feeling like saying chasm a lot. And he was completely intrigued. I mean, he was zeroed in and listening to everything that I was saying at this point in time. And he was foreigner. I don't remember where he was from. But at the end of the conversation, you know, after we had shared a lot more, and his heart was broken, and I don't think he became a Christian that night, but you could tell that he was moved. And afterwards, he revealed to me that his name in the original language of where he was from means chasm. And so it was just like, wow, you know, it blew me away to understand that God had led me to say this word that I typically don't use in order to grab the attention of this individual. It was a word of knowledge. Jesus also used the word of knowledge as a spiritual gift. If you would, turn to John chapter 4, and we'll see this word of knowledge in action as Jesus used it. You might be thinking, well, Jesus was God in the flesh. I mean, you know, he doesn't have to use spiritual gifts. But actually, the thing that you have to understand is that Jesus clothed himself in humanity and hid his deity behind his humanity so that he experienced life as a human and not as a God. And so that everything that he did, all of his power, everything that he used, it was all spiritual gifts, just like what we can do. And so he was depending on the Holy Spirit to reveal to him everything, every miracle, everything. He lived and walked and breathed and did everything like a human and received power from the Holy Spirit as his own deity was clothed in humanity. And so as Jesus here in John chapter 4 was speaking to the woman at the well about her need for a Savior, she was focusing on the arguments between Samaritans and with the Jews. And you've read the story probably hundreds of times about the woman at the well. But Jesus wants her to focus in on what is really important, what he is truly saying. And so he drops a word of knowledge on her. In John 4:16, it says, Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, You have well said, "I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Good answer. Good answer. You bet he's a prophet. He's the prophet of God, and he's more than a prophet. He's the Savior. And he goes on to reveal to this lady that he is the Savior that can give her the water that quenches for all eternity. And so she began to listen and became a Christian and then went back into the city and began to preach the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to those in the town where she was from. But God wants to give us knowledge. He wants to give us the word of knowledge that will help us in the saving of other people. People need a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And God can use us giving us knowledge about the people that we're talking to so that we can lead them into a relationship with Jesus. But how about this question? Have you ever had information about danger, a dangerous situation, or some sort of situation where you felt like people needed to be warned, or a person needed to be warned about something? That's a word of knowledge. God gave the word of knowledge to Elisha in order to warn the Israelites. You see, whenever Syria was planning to invade Israel or to ambush her troops, Elisha would issue a warning in advance, and Israel would escape the ambush every time. And it got to the point where Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, figured that there was a mole in their ranks. They figured, he came to the conclusion that he had someone that was leaking information to Israel, and so he basically started questioning everybody, hey, who's the mole? You know, who's releasing all this information? Well, God was the mole. God was the one that was telling Elisha what Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was up to, and Elisha would then warn Israel to take guard and to escape the ambush. So, also, the prophet, if you want to turn to Acts chapter 21, in Acts chapter 21, we see the prophet Agabus, and this is the same Agabus that we studied about recently in the book of Acts chapter 11. And so this prophet's still around here in Acts chapter 21, and he takes Paul's belt and warns Paul about certain danger to come. And in Acts 21:10, it says, "A certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.'" And so here we again, we see this word of knowledge. God is giving this word of knowledge through Agabus to Paul. So here's the next question. Have you ever been keenly aware that somebody was lying about a certain situation? You just had that knowledge. You knew what they were lying about and what the problem was. Look back at Acts chapter 5. From Acts 21, turn back to Acts chapter 5. Because we see the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias, this is the only one that we're going to study about tonight. Sapphira follows suit with her husband and lies as well. But in Acts 5, verse 1, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.'" You see, Peter had a word of knowledge and knew that Ananias was lying. God had revealed to Peter that Ananias was lying. And then the Holy Spirit comes along and actually takes the life of Ananias and Sapphira. And I remember a time when a guy came up to me in a parking lot, and he started telling me the story about how his car broke down and how all he needed was a couple of bucks to get his car up and running. He needed this hose, and if I would just give him this money. And I knew he was lying. I just knew it. And so I said, "Well, jump on in, man. Let's go get your car fixed." And so he jumped in my truck, and we drove over to where he claimed his car was. And we pulled out, and I said, "Hey, is this your car right here?" And he said, "No, that's my car." And I went over to the car, and I said, "Well, let's open it up and take a look and see what the problem is here." And he's like, "Oh, no, never mind. Don't worry about it." And I said, "No, let's take a look, you know." And I grabbed the door handle, I started shaking it, and he's just like, "No, don't worry about it, man." I said, "Yeah, because this isn't your car, is it?" And he said, "No." I said, "Because you've been lying to me the whole time, haven't you?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "You know what? You might fool some people out here. You might get your couple of bucks from some sucker, but God sees you. God sees you, and He knows every lie." And the guy just broke down and started weeping. And then I just sat there and ministered to him for, you know, about an hour after that, just talking with him and asking him about whether or not he was willing to turn his life over to God or not. And he didn't. He didn't. He was broken to a certain degree. But he walked away lost that day. And I saw him not too long after that scamming other people in the same parking lot. So it's sad, but God gives us this knowledge to help others come to Him, to help others grow, to help others find Him and learn about Him. Some people won't receive the knowledge, though. But take out your Ignite Spiritual Inventory card. If you've answered yes to these questions, if you're saying, yeah, that describes me, I have several stories just like this, then circle 10, look at where it says Word of Knowledge, and off to the right, circle 10. And if you're saying, no, this doesn't sound like me at all, I've never been used in this way, this is just not me, circle a 1. But maybe you're somewhere in between. Maybe you're like yes on one question, no on another. Circle somewhere in between, you know, where you think that is. 1 being absolutely not and 10 being absolutely. Somewhere in there, maybe that's where you're at. Circle that, and that way as we continue to go through this spiritual gifts inventory, when we get to the end, we'll be able to go back and look at all the ones that you've circled and come to some conclusions about how God has gifted you and wants to use you. Well, let's talk about the final point, develop. Let's talk about developing this word of knowledge, because some of these development points are more about what not to do, and some of them are what to do. Let's talk about a few things about what not to do with the word of knowledge. Number one, don't overly mystify or spiritualize this gift. The word of knowledge does not make you a psychic. You know, this idea of being a psychic and, you know, just throw all that stuff out. It's hogwash. There is the word of knowledge. God can give us knowledge, and that's it. It's not some third eye or, you know, you shouldn't go home and start practicing Jedi mind tricks on your spouse. You know, you want to go to the fridge and get me a soda, you know, wave your hand at them and, that's not what the word of knowledge is all about. And there's no need to flaunt this spiritual gift either. I mean, you know, you don't have like a word of knowledge and you reveal this to somebody and all of a sudden you're all this spiritual giant. Look at how God used me. You see, think about it like this. If my parents are rich and they buy me a Hummer, what do I have to brag about? It's my parents' money, and they were just generous enough to buy me a really cool vehicle. It has nothing to do with me, right? And so in similar manner, if God is giving you a spiritual gift like the word of knowledge, then again, what part of that was you? Except that God just gave you the gift, the word of knowledge. And so if God gives you a word of knowledge, why should you boast? So gaining spiritual knowledge also is not like going to the sink and turning the faucet on and off. You know, I want some knowledge now, and so I go turn the faucet on. And I'm done with the knowledge now, so I turn the faucet off. That's not what the word of knowledge is like. You don't choose when to turn the faucet on or not, showing again that it doesn't originate with you. It originates with God. And when God wants to turn on the faucet and give you some knowledge, He'll turn it on. And when He wants to turn it off, He'll turn it off. And the thing that we have to be careful about is that if we become prideful about the gifts that God gives us, He'd rather turn them off. If we're going to start taking the glory for ourselves and not pointing the glory straight to God, why would He use us? Why would He give us these gifts? So let's be careful that we don't take for granted the ways in which God might use us. God will impart spiritual knowledge to us as He sees fit. And this spiritual knowledge, there is a purpose for it. And we'll talk more about this at the end of our study, but just to hit on it briefly right now, this spiritual knowledge is always for the building up of the church. So when God uses you, don't become proud because your pride then tears down the church. If God wants to use you to build up the church, then the knowledge that He gives you is not for the gossip circles. It's not to say, hey, look what God showed me, you know. So-and-so is a sinner. That's not what it's for. It's for the building up of the body. Now let me say this. Many times that you receive a word of knowledge, you won't even recognize that you received it. It'll be something that is typically unknown to you. And for example, have you ever had anybody come up to you and say, just, oh, thank you so much. When we were talking the other day, you don't know how God used you to point me in this direction. Or I've had several times people come up to me and just say, oh, you know, I've been praying about this thing and we were talking and then you said this and that just cleared everything up for me. And I'm just like, what did I say? You know, I said, what? I don't remember saying that. And yeah, because God was just using me. God was just using you when God used you to drop that little piece of knowledge in someone's ear by way of a casual conversation. And it totally blessed them. It was totally what they were looking for. They come back later and say, oh, thank you so much. And you're like, huh? What happened? That's typically a word of knowledge. You didn't even know that God was using you like that. I love when God does that. But many times people tell me after a service that, man, that message just, that was spoken right to my heart. Thank you. And I'm just like, well, you're welcome. I mean, I just put together what God put on my heart. I didn't know that was going to pierce your heart. I didn't know that was going to encourage you. But good. I'm glad. All I do is, you know, sit in front of my computer and just pray, Lord, what do you want me to say? You know, and then he just gives it to me. So if that blesses you, then praise the Lord. But that's the Lord. You see, if I'm up here and I'm preaching and all of a sudden you're like, man, was he listening in on my cell phone conversation the other day? Or you're sitting there going, is he looking in the window at my house? I mean, me and my wife just had that argument. Or I'm not looking in the windows of your house and I'm not tapping your cell phones. But God is. God is. And that should scare you more, you know, because I can't do anything about it, you know, really. But God can. But he is. He's taking notes and he's giving me information. And not to say that, you know, I'm getting information from God saying so-and-so, such a person was doing such and such a thing at such and such a time. That's not the kind of information that I'm getting. But just to apply a certain verse in a certain way. And he knows that when I apply it in that way, it's going to speak to your heart. It's going to impress something upon you and convict you or challenge you or encourage you. And so that's all God's doing. And it's really cool to watch it happen. And I know that God uses me in this way. I know that he's given me lots of words of knowledge throughout the history of my Christianity. And chances are he's given them to you too. But the most important thing to do with this gift is to pray that God would help you to have the wisdom to understand what to do with the knowledge. That's the most important thing. If you're somebody that's saying, yes, I'm an 8, I'm a 9, I'm a 10, this is some way that God is constantly using me, you need to be in prayer about how God wants you to use the knowledge. Maybe God has revealed something to you about a certain person. Maybe God's put a person on your heart and just given you some indication about, you know, what they're struggling with. Or that's not for you to take to the gossip circles, to get on the phone and say, you know what God revealed to me? At that point in time, the wisest thing you can do is just start praying for that person and praying for their immediate sphere of influence, such as their spouse and their kids. Just pray for that person. And then maybe at some point God would move you to even go and talk to that person or challenge that person. And Galatians chapter 6, if you want to turn there, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 becomes very important. If God gives you a word of knowledge for somebody and then actually wants you to go and talk to that person, the first thing that you must do is sit down and read Galatians 6 and consider yourself. Galatians 6, 1 says this, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual or you who are walking in the Spirit, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." And so, just a word of wisdom here. Don't act upon the knowledge that God gives you until you've tested yourself and made sure, yes, I am in the Spirit, and yes, I can approach this person in a spirit of gentleness. Now, it's been said that knowledge is power. And I agree with that. I think there's a certain degree of truth to that. And so we need help from the Holy Spirit to help us to not abuse the knowledge or the power that God gives us. And if you have this gift, then it becomes important to use it in such a way that builds others up. That's the purpose of these gifts, to build up those around you. Well, next week, we're going to take a look at the apostolic gift. But right now, I'd like to transition into a time of communion. And so let's bring the lights back low. We're going to have a word of prayer and continue to celebrate our Lord and Savior.